Everybody, hi, welcome to This Week in Mormon. This is the best podcast you will ever listen to for the rest of your life. Nice to be here. How's that for exciting, Danielle?
Jeff, why are you such an angry elf?
I've decided today is going to be an angry day. It might be because I only
think
had...
we have a rant coming on.
I had a yogurt and apple for lunch. I feel that I need starch.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Well, I also had a little pastry because they were free. It was wonderful.
I'm eating two-bite brownies from Whole Foods, in case my listeners could not hear that.
That
is the delightful taste of fresh-baked brownies brought to you in a plastic bin.
Tell us, Al, what will you be eating today? That.
Yeah, two-bite brownies. I just told you.
You go to Whole Foods when there's a Harris? No.
Harmon's.
I've been to that Harmon's. It's exciting.
That's a hipster Harmon's. It's a good one.
It is the hipster Harmon's. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It is delightful.
Really pretty. She tried pesto for the first time. It's wonderful. Just wonderful.
What is that from?
Arrested Development. Remember we used to quote it a lot on this show?
I don't remember pesto.
It's a vague reference, I think, in season one or two when Lindsay and Maybe go to visit their grandma. Oh, no, they hear that their grandma is alive and well, but she's dead. And Lucille says, she tried pesto for the first time.
Huh.
Ha.
Neat.
The funny thing about a true story is our own Nana tried pesto for the first time.
Oh, that is neat.
At 90.
I still haven't finished watching season four of Arrested Development. Is that weird?
It is weird. It's been nearly a year. You've had enough time to get through it. In the time that you spend out recording, you know, your personal recordings of you singing along with popular songs of the day, you know the ones I'm talking about.
One of my favorite pastimes, if I may.
You know the ones you refuse to share with the public, unfortunately.
Whoever finds my computer when I die will laugh their heads off.
How many of you, what's your most recent your most recent work?
No, I will not share.
Tell me what the most recent one is that you've done.
No.
Tell me.
Jeff, I'm a man of my scruples, my laurels.
You don't have to play it or share it with anyone. I just want to know what it was. Was it naughty? Is that why? Is it Wrecking Ball?
No, it's not naughty, Jeff. Well, I guess it would be explicit on iTunes, but that's besides the point.
You're a confusing man with the profanity. I don't understand you.
So here's a question for you. I have never in my entire life seen a rated R movie that was not edited for TV, except for one movie. I saw Bloodsport when I was 9 years old at my buddy DJ's birthday party, and it was amazing. I don't know why they thought it was a great idea to show a bunch of 9-year-old kids that, but it was the best thing I'd ever seen up to that point. And Mom was very disappointed with me. But so, like, rated R movies have never been a part of my upbringing at all.
May I enter? Oh, okay. So what is your question?
Yes.
Well, I was just say that might be true, but I submit to you the summer of 2008 when two young men would sit in another younger brother's bedroom surrounded by Lord of the Rings paraphernalia and play Grand Theft Auto 4 with reckless abandon.
No, we would. Well, so there's things in our lives that we all do. There's things that we all do that kind of supplement that stuff, right? We all have our vices, so to speak. And so, I mean, it took me a while to get to the point where I realized that even though I don't swear, drink caffeine, or watch rated R movies, I was not perfect. But that realization has helped me immensely not to be as much of a schmuck as I used to be. So
what was your original question?
I don't claim that I am beyond vices or that I'm perfect or anything of that nature, or that the fact that I don't watch rated R movies sets me apart or sets me above anybody else.
A special people.
I don't watch them. And as far as I'm concerned, it's a good line of demarcation of just like, all right, well, I'm going to select from this subset, right? I'm not going to worry about these other ones just because even though some are good, some are bad, maybe I won't worry about it. But from this subset, I will select from those. And that's worked very well for me in my life, right? Okay. Well, and so I don't have those parameters in video games, right? I don't have those parameters in I guess music, I didn't really have any criteria in the music that I listen to. I enjoy a wide variety of jams, if you will.
Yeah.
And so there's other places where I've sort of ignored good counsel from the brethren, and then places where I've done really well.
I find that for some reason film, for me, stuff like profanity in film sticks with me more than it does in music, and I don't know why. But if I were to catch a glimpse or whatever of a movie laden with profanity, I'll just be like, ah. But if I were to hear a song that might drop two F-bombs, I'm not saying I love it, but I definitely don't find it as jarring as I might if it's in a film. I don't know why.
Well, and I mean, to this point in my life, I have said a swear word one time, and my sister was there when I said it, and she gasped when I said it. I was watching the Warriors play on TV. I was 11 years old, and the Warriors came back from like a 30-point deficit, and they won the game. And I turned to my sister, and I said, man, that was one heck of a game. And she gasped, and so I slapped her in the face. That was, in my mind, that was a better scenario than her telling anybody that I'd swore. Better to show the handprint on her
so
face.
So I slapped her in the face. So you, instead, you abused a member of your family.
That's right. Okay. A female member of my family, and I got in a lot of trouble for that. But I've neither hit a woman nor sworn since then, okay. Ever.
Did we? Was there an original point to the whole R-rated thing that you
brought
up? Yes.
Well, so I read the book Lone Survivor just a couple of months ago, right? Well, I read this book, and I was just so enamored by it. Now, the story was really, really moving to me, and there was some. You know, there's a couple of swears in it, but it's the story of the Navy SEAL team that goes over to Afghanistan, gets ambushed by this army, just tore up, and terrible things happen. And the guy lives through it, and he makes it. There's one guy that comes back from it all. And I was really touched by this story. And so there's a movie coming out this Friday. For the first time in my entire life, I'm like Passion of the Christ. I was like, no, I read the book. Book is better. You know, I just don't care. And so I
you mean the
I'm
Bible.
Thinking, I've heard of it. It was good. It was phenomenal. But I'm thinking to myself, and I'm wondering, I guess I'm trying to justify whether or not it's okay to go to this. Jeff and I talked. I mean, we had this come up with the Book of Mormon musical, and we felt like it was. It would be sage for neither of us to see that. I mean, we talked through a lot of this. Okay, so that I'm sort of bringing this up in a
let me
dialogue.
Help. Let me help you with this. I'm looking at IMDb right now. Parental guide for Lone Survivor.
Okay? Or we can go to OK.com, the church affiliate.
Or you can go to KidsInMind.com. Go to any of these. I don't know if you've looked it up already. It says it's very bloody, lots of gore, and 143 uses of the F word and its derivatives. So... the question is, if you want to sit through
143?
That's more than one per minute, because the film is only 121 minutes long, and that's including credits. So
that may be excessive. Yeah. That may be excessive. But I've got a friend of mine who is like adamant. She will only go and see like Disney Pixar films, right? And very kind of cheesy topic films, and it bothers me because I'm like, well, we can handle grown up. Not like grown up. I don't want like dirty sex stuff, but I'm like, we can handle grown up topics.
Well,
right? We don't have to live in a world of only seeing Up.
No, but it's relative to others. And for one thing, I would not every movie's this way, but I would dispute the allegation that Pixar movies lack any kind of heady depth in any way.
No, but you
Up
know,
dealt
but you
with
know
a miscarriage,
saying, right?
For goodness sake. Yes, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Well, and what I feel like a lot of times being raised in the church, I mean, we're so adamant about like don't watch anything bad that we cut out a lot of that stuff. I remember even like I mean I've still never seen Braveheart or Last of the Mohicans. And these are movies that I have on good authority. They're quality, very well done, good movies, but I just don't watch them because they're rated R. I just don't. And my life, honestly, like I don't feel like my life has been less off because of it.
Yeah.
There's just this one situation where I really have an appreciation for the story, especially right this moment. And I have a moment of consideration, shall we say.
Well, I think now you know that you don't need to see it. It's very rated R.
Very rated R.
And it depends on what bugs people, right? I mean, war, like war violence, at least for me, is not as jarring as, I guess, you know, horror movie violence or something like that. Like, I could never, I cannot handle, like, creepy horror films.
No, so nudity really bothers me. Nudity? Violence. I feel guilty admitting this. I do not recommend Breaking Bad to anyone, but Breaking Bad, I watched through, and there were some parts that just bothered me and have stuck with me and, like, still to this moment.
I know, and it stinks because Breaking Bad's, like, one of the best shows ever made.
But there is gore in there that's beyond anything I've seen movie-wise. I mean, like, where guys are killing each other and stuff like that. And that's another thing that's interesting, right? I don't watch rated R movies, but because it's on TV, I'm like, well, I mean, if it were a movie, for sure it'd be rated R.
Well, especially when it's on, if it's on basic cable, because then it's very easy to assume it's not going to cross a certain line because basic cable can't. Like, I don't imagine you're going and watching Game of Thrones, even though that's on,
no,
you know,
I,
on TV.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Yeah, but... The funny thing, since we're talking, I guess, about standards and whatever, it's all relative to people. I don't know if this would be for or against this or not, just for the sake of censorship and who knows what else. But it is nice, as flawed as it is, that we have a movie rating system. And it's also nice, as flawed as it is, that we have a TV rating system, even though it's kind of a mess. But you know how it is, you turn an episode of something on, and sometimes it's TV PG, and then another one you turn on, it's TV 14. You see it's for dialogue, language, and sexuality, or who knows what else. But with books and the theater, you just never know.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's their artistic freedom, and it's fine. But especially for the theater, because I love going to the theater, but sometimes, man, if you just don't know what you're getting into, you might sit there and just be blown away by the content that's presented to you. And there's absolutely no way to know that without just doing a lot of, you know, research online and trying to find out what the content is in advance. And the same goes for books. I don't know if it would be good to have... I mean, no rating system is mandatory. Not even the movie rating system is not even mandatory.
Right.
But everyone does it because you kind of need to be marketable in that sense. So I don't know. I wouldn't mind having some kind of a rating system for other materials. I've read books before, and then... Like, I read an Anthony Bourdain book a couple of years ago, all right? His famed book, Kitchen Confidential. I think Anthony Bourdain is pretty amusing. Some people hate him, but I liked it. But I read this book. I think my wife read it once too. My wife read it too, so she can vouch for this. You get to these points when it's suddenly all this profanity and language comes in, and you tell yourself, okay, well, it was just that moment, just that little bit there, it'll pass. So you soldier on. But then it keeps happening. And I keep telling myself, oh, that'll be the end of it. There won't be more. Next thing you know, you read the whole book, and it's just been laden with all sorts of delightful epithets and things along those lines. Sorry, Al. You can talk now and not type.
No, I'm trying to think about it, right? Because, like, well, I even know people that will read they'll read books and then black out with marker any swear words so that their kids can then go read it.
I did that with a slang dictionary I picked up on my mission. And you'd have, like, entire pages would be blacked out because it'd be nothing but just, like, sexual slang. That was terrible. Yeah. But that book helped us to know what the dumb kids were calling us when they yelled at us in the streets. And then I understood. It was good. Much better than the ignorance. I was like, so that's what that means. All right. Good deal.
Oh, I see.
My eyes have been opened. I understand now.
Yeah. Well, so, like, I mean, but the effectiveness of that, I mean, reading a book that's been edited in that way, I mean, it's just kind of silly because your mind immediately fills in the gaps, right?
In a way. But sometimes, honestly, I would think that if you strive to keep your mind away from these things, your mind can only fill in the gaps so much. And sometimes you could read something that if you had not filled in the gaps and read what was actually there, you would be appalled and say, oh my gosh.
When I was growing up, I worked doing festivals, like jazz festivals and blues festivals and pop festivals and stuff. And the guys I'd work with setting up fences and stages were not the classiest group of people.
Yeah.
And I got in this habit where as they would swear, I would mumble the literal translation under my breath. And it was quite comical to me. You know, the
they
poop
probably,
and fecal
they probably
matter.
Probably hated you.
Sexual intercourse that they sex me and sexual me sex with me and, like, you know, the things that they would say, and I mean, I was entertained, but what it did for me is it made it to where I was not thinking about the swear words. I was thinking about my own you know, the literal translation that was humorous and not at all offensive to me, and that worked fine. And so, like you get in these modes where if you're around it and you have good mechanisms for dealing with it, you're probably fine. But I mean, I'm just at this at a weird point of asking, you know, like, is there value that we're excluding by skipping out on this? And
well, I've been there too, man. I mean, we've talked about it before on the show. I mean, because I don't, at least as far as ratings go, I do agree that it's nice to just have a baseline and just not cross it. I think that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But I don't. I try not to leave it to that. Like, I just look at, like, I look into the reasons why things are what they are, and make choices for myself. Like, even, like, I've openly said, I saw the King's Speech, and it didn't freak me out. It was one scene, and it wasn't in a bad way. I didn't love it or anything like that, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And that was a case where I said, you know what, I don't think this is going to be a problem for me, because the overall tone was a lot different from what you would find in other films. It wasn't flippant. Right. It's not to make an excuse, but for me, I felt okay with that. I don't watch R-rated movies either. It's a thing I don't do. But every now and then there are ones that come along that, of course, they're tempting because they look cool or they look interesting. But you just...
Well, I remember like The Gladiator came out and everybody's like, it's the greatest movie ever. And I was like, man, I want to see that so bad. And I waited. Finally, it comes out on TV like 3 years later. And I was like, that was actually really stupid.
It's not the greatest film ever made.
There was my life was not impacted at all by my inability to see or my uninterest in seeing that. Right.
And I think that's the main message. Our lives are, typically speaking, not going to be negatively impacted from missing out on things. They're just not. You know, I mean, that's the best takeaway I think I can get from any of that.
I think even in this specific circumstance, right? Like, I enjoyed the book. I enjoyed the book. I handled the swearing and whatever was written in there, but it wasn't offensive to me. There definitely wasn't 140 some instances of it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like, maybe it would be tarnished if I went and saw this. So I may just be better off, like, well, I think I will. I think I will be better off in just enjoying the story via the book instead of worrying about going to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, just let the book be the book. You know, it's like Jurassic Park. If they would have made it just like the book, it would have been rated R. So, yeah. You know.
Anywho.
For some reason, this makes me want to talk about one of these stories we have this week that is the top 10 things to do your first week back from a Mormon mission.
Oh, what are they, Jeff?
I don't know why it made me want... Probably because there's one that talks about...
We missed all of banter. We missed all of it.
No, well, that was our banter. That's fine. It all works out. We can banter about church things. It's amazing.
But I don't know.
For some reason, this jumped out at me, probably because you mentioned your friend who only watches Pixar movies, and I think one of the items on the list sort of alludes to that, and I personally disagree with it. And maybe we'll publish our own list at thisweekinmormons.com. Of our own list of things to do, or that we did do.
Am I being naive in the fact that I like do we have a problem with being raised with a social or cultural taste that are I guess childish? Like we're not built to handle adult topics or themes. Like, any kind of a downside to that?
Well, I think there's a different thing. There's adult, what you would call adult content.
Right, and like mainly pornography. I mean, I feel like we should be... No, I'm just kidding.
And then there are maybe adult themes, which are different things. And I think the point of this whole discussion, Al, is that you are studying it out and pondering it and trying to find answers for yourself. And that's the best thing that we can do as Latter-day Saints. All too often...
Oh, that's such a cop-out,
No,
Jeff.
It's not a cop-out. All too often, I think we want to have President Monson show up and tell us every single decision that we need to be making.
Well, that's right. Notice I got sent, I was talking to a friend about this, and they sent me for Strength of Youth, and I'm like, well, that's fantastic. I am not a youth.
Ah, but that one.
Strength of Al Doan.
But that one I feel is fair because the brethren have given talks about this and said, hey, for the Strength of Youth is a good thing, but it's not just for youth. Those are guidelines that everyone in the church can follow and use to chart your course.
Well, so, sure, and I don't argue that at all.
So I don't think
they're good, but they have room to be grown upon. Don't
yeah, they?
They
do, because not everything in there is perfectly applicable. I mean, for the Strength of Youth, we'll tell you to group date and not get into serious relationships before your mission, which makes no sense when you're an adult when it's the complete opposite. So
wait, is that why I'm single?
Al, are you still doing group dating at this stage in your life?
I just don't want to pair off and feel like I'm...
I picture you trying to enter into polygamous relationships where you want to have many girlfriends at the same time.
Yeah, but I want them to all have their own husband so I don't have to take care of them. I'm like a cheap polygamist.
So you just want to, what, be able to make out with them?
No, I just want to hang out. I like friends.
Well, that works. That's good. All right, then.
No, so anyway, keep going. So,
oh, I don't remember what we were. Just
wait, did we decide? Like, you're hiding behind the. Wait. I never finished my thought. So, for the strength of youth, does not say rated R movies, right? They don't say
but we've been through this. The church doesn't say rated R movies anymore because the church has become globalized and limiting counsel to a rating system.
Right, and we're comfortable with the fact that like rated R movies should. I mean, that's a broad stroke from society saying here's a line that we're going to say is just kind of crummy. Let's not cross it, right? Are you typing that we should move on? Because if you are, stop it.
No, I'm actually looking up entertainment and media in For the Strength of Youth to see what it actually says now. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, what are you finding?
Well, it's long, but it's, and of course it's adaptive, but it says, you know, we live in a day of marvelous technologies, yada, yada, yada.
Blah, blah, blah.
The information and entertainment provided through these can increase your ability to communicate and become a force for good. However, some information can lead you away from righteous living. Choose wisely when using media, because whatever you read, listen to, or look at has an effect on you. Select only media that uplifts you. So Satan uses media to deceive you by making what is wrong and evil look normal, humorous, or exciting. He tries to mislead you into thinking that breaking God's commandments is acceptable and has no negative consequences for you and others. And then it goes on, like, do not attend, view, or participate in anything that's vulgar, immoral, violent, or pornographic in any way.
Okay. Awesome. So I mean, those are great guidelines, right? And should we surmise from that means no rated R movies, and that means that if a song has a swear word in it, we should avoid it?
But I think for the first one, everyone has to make their own decisions. I think it's very easy, at least in the States. We have listeners outside of the States, so forgive us for this America-centric conversation.
NC-17, whatever you want.
But if you... I think a good baseline for a lot of people is no rated R movies. And there's nothing wrong with that. And the church used to say no rated R movies, and they just stopped doing it, like we said, because we're an international church now. That doesn't make sense to limit it just to a U.S. designation. But, rated R movies, and avoid them if you want. But be prayerful about it. Seek it out in your own mind so you know things and figure it out. I mean, like it said right there, your baseline, your guidelines can be seek things that are uplifting, that don't drag you down, that don't mess with your head, that don't make you think that what Satan would have you believe is the way things should to be. Yeah, should to be. Well, that's the point. There's the stuff right there. Follow that guideline and seek it out and try to understand it. I think the risky thing is when we just are so inundated and normalized with certain types of content that we don't take a step
back.
How do you balance?
Okay, so we're going long on this, and I apologize, but like, how do you balance that? Like, keep good, clean, pure thoughts, only uplifting things, and still be able to delve into and have intelligent discussion on adult-themed topics.
Well, I think that's fair. Like, we often, there's always a criticism of American news, for example, because we have, you know, with censorship, decency laws, things like that. But the world basically is R-rated. Now, we choose how much we want to participate in it. And how actively we want to engage in any of those things. But the world around us is R-rated. It is. And there's no getting around it. I mean, so it's just a decision of how much of that we need to actually inculcate and take upon ourselves, and how much of that we block out and understand.
And I think that's my question. Is there a responsibility on us as members of the church to, I guess, be exposed to some of these topics or some of these, topics.
Of course there is. The Book of Mormon.
To a point
to
appreciate it. But like, you can't do that and avoid the negative or avoid all the bad all the time,
well,
right?
Well, you can't. I mean, the Book of Mormon is a perfect example. The Book of Mormon is on its own as a straight adaptation is basically rated R for violence.
You can't tell me that scene with the daughter of Jared dance of Rakish wouldn't get a little crazy in a movie. Let's be honest.
Exactly.
People.
Exactly. So, of course, that's there. There's heady subject matter in the Book of Mormon. But I think it's a great example to us in that the takeaway there, or like anything else, the Old Testament's another great example. We could get wrapped up in all of the violence and the difficulty and the thoughts it could put in our head. But the important thing we're looking for is to learn that, for one, most of those evils are portrayed in a negative light. and to focus on the positive and the important messages that we can take away from things. We're going to have bad stuff around us all the time. Our entire lives we will. And I think we can use a lot of that to learn and to grow, because it's a difficult world out there. And personally, I feel that we are better off. We don't want to try to inoculate ourselves against things so that we're naive and that we live in a bubble. But I think we can learn from the world around us, but then actively engage in righteous pursuits on our own so that our day-to-day for ourselves is more positive and uplifting than what would be around us if we just kind of let it go by default.
Sure. Okay.
You may rebut me.
What was your topic in the that you wanted to touch on the top 10 things to do your first week back from a mission? I think I derailed you.
Oh, it's okay. You can derail me all you want. There was one that mentioned something, I think, on here about like...
This is a really dumb article, by the way.
It is Kevin a really dumb Johnson, article.
Kevin Johnson, you are the next McKay Coppins, you weenie.
Anyway.
Go to BuzzFeed and write your top 10 articles.
Oh, here's one of the ones. Number four, ease into... Don't dive into old hobbies and media habits. Re-entering the world of movies, music, social media, and your favorite hobbies from before the mission can be a strange and even intimidating experience.
He felt uncomfortable watching Toy Story.
Don't let other people...
That's what I'm talking about.
I read this and I said, you felt... I'm sorry. That's a problem. If you feel uncomfortable watching Toy Story 3, then yes, you need to maybe evaluate a few things in your life. Because Toy Story 3 is a great movie, and it deals with some complex themes about loss and things like that. But it is not a movie that should make you take pause and make you squirm in your seat. Except for the part where they almost get incinerated.
We have a lot of people, man, there's, especially in my experience living out here in Utah, there are crummy, like, off the deep end people that claim to be Mormon. But there's also this whole subset of Kaysville saints, if you will, who have avoided somehow. They've built this bubble that is a great bubble that has protected them all their growing up years. But as part of it, they are so innocent and so good and pure they don't get humor. They don't get topics. They don't get appreciate. I mean, Toy Story 3, there are people, good girls, who are not coming from a mission who have sat in that movie and said, hey, this is wrong. We should leave. Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking
about?
If
you can't watch a rated G movie, then that's just a problem. I'm sorry.
Well, is it a problem, or are they godlike beyond us?
No, I don't
think. Should we be encouraging that?
In that case, no, I don't think that anybody would be. I think that's just naivete. I mean, that's just. Come on, Toy Story 3. I understand if someone like when
don't
I was
get caught on Toy Story 3. I mean, this is think like I mean, movies. Any movie that has a good, maybe a good overall message, but
well, I mean, here's a good.
I'm struggling.
Here's a good example because when we read a lot of these standards, you know, it says like if it depicts anything as okay, that's not, shun it. So by that theory, if you're watching people, if you used to watch Friends and you know that they have consensual premarital sex and cohabitation.
We're supposed to shun that?
Do you not watch it? But here's a good example. Here's one. Groundhog Day.
Can we not watch it because it was just bad?
That's another good reason. By the way, I saw some terrible BuzzFeed list that proclaimed Friends as one of the greatest sitcoms of all time. And that, of course, is just wrong.
Any list that doesn't lead with news radio is not respectable.
I don't know. So, of course, there's going to be heady stuff. And, like I was saying, Groundhog Day, great movie, good message. There is that little, but it deals with all sorts of complex themes. I mean,
he uses that power to win his woman.
He uses the power to win his woman. There's that scene with the other girl, you know, Nancy, when they're just making out. Now, admittedly, I love that movie, but I hate sitting there when that scene comes up, if I'm even with my mom or something like that, even though he's just... whatever, but think of any suicide. Lots of complex, difficult themes in that movie.
Complex themes in Groundhog Day. See, I wouldn't even look at that and think complex themes. How stupid is this?
Well, I actually had to write my senior thesis in language arts English class in high school. We had to write it based on Groundhog Day. I've given Groundhog Day a lot of thought. Don't worry.
Okay,
I'm here for you. So I don't know. Yeah, I think people are. I think it's to someone's detriment if something like Toy Story 3. As an example, would cause you to be uncomfortable. That's just strange. Also, the other example in here about how he had a friend whose favorite hobby was playing bass guitar. First off, might I add, no one's favorite hobby is playing bass guitar. People
that can't play rhythm guitar.
Yeah,
love
people
to play
who play
bass guitar
is the third guy who the band chose not to be the guitar player, and they said, "Oh, but could you play the bass?" And they say, okay.
Booyah!
No one's passionate about bass guitar except for jazz bassists. That's a different thing.
Oh, they're good.
But he says nice. His bass playing friend was his favorite thing and hardest thing to let go. And as a result, when he got back from his mission, he needed the most time before he started doing it again. I understand if it's something that's addictive, that could be a problem, you know, if it just took away from everything else you did. But when I came home, you know what I did? I plugged in my old amplifier and turned on my guitar, and I was overjoyed after 2 years removed from my music equipment to be able to use it again and do stuff. That was wonderful for me. Of course I missed it when I was a missionary. It's not wrong that I just hopped back in. I didn't just, like, ignore my family and forge problematic relationships because I loved my guitar. Kevin Johnson, your list is silly. I don't even want to read the other ones. But I like
them. All right, let's do a quick update if we can. We need to move on from this. We spent way too long. But the Mormon of the Year, Jeff, did we win?
Well, the official winners have not been announced. But as far as the popular vote, I'm assuming you refer to that, my good friend.
No, the popular vote is winning to me.
Not according to Al Gore. Not so much. As luck would have it, we did not.
We led.
We led for about half of the time. But now we lost to the feminists, as we often do.
You, Twim Army, I'm proud of you, each and every one of you.
I'm both proud and disappointed. These numbers are but a pittance. They do not reflect our listener base. Where were all of you? Why did you not obey our command to vote for us?
Yeah, I feel like most of my people did, Jeff. I blame your following. They did not support you. They didn't rally.
Here's the thing, though. We didn't promote it very heavily on our own Twim feed because we wanted to look more legitimate. We promoted it more on our personal Facebook walls. That said, we had non-members voting for us, which is very commendable. Thank you to all those of you who wanted to rally.
Yeah, you people who don't care about Mormonism and still wanted me and Jeff to be the Mormon of the Year.
Yeah. But for the final tally, at least for the popular vote, the broad category of LDS feminists got 407 votes. Hans Mattsson, who's that Swedish guy who wrote that New York Times article about doubt back last fall?
Where did he even come from, man? That guy doesn't have a following.
I bet somebody on Mormon Stories or something posted it. People love him over there on Mormon Stories. But then Ezekiel Ansah. Al knows more about this guy. Some football player?
Yeah, he just didn't play football at all, and then he was drafted. Good for him, but he got a lot of traction over on the Cougar board.
Yeah, and that's how that happened. And then you had us,
BYU Sports,
who just promoted it ourselves, like any good candidate would. I mean, you've got to get out the vote. So we came in fourth.
We were number one for a good chunk of that time.
A while. We eclipsed. I remember it was a couple days into it. We eclipsed the feminists, and I felt like this was going to happen. We were going to ride this wave of popular support.
The only people that I would have been happy losing to would have been Jabari Parker, and he didn't even place, or that Fox woman, Alex Fox, or
she's not even on it, is she?
Yeah, she was.
I don't think she was. Jabari Parker was at least on the list, but I don't know where he is, or is he not on? He was on the list. Where is he? Jabari Parker got
Amy Fox, Alex, and
Jabari Parker came in 10th place.
It's hard
behind Kate Kelly and ahead of Imagine Dragons.
Dude, you gotta love that though. We brought home, Jeff, 12%, 12.7% of the vote.
I feel wonderful about it.
We've done it.
So while I did start out with a criticism, honestly though, thanks to everybody who went and voted.
It was super fun.
That was a lot of fun. Now the editorial staff will still choose their own Mormon of the Year, and I don't think they announce rankings officially. So I'm just going to take
this. And if I may, from the comments that Kurt is making over there, I don't suspect that we would have fared well even if we had won the popular vote. I just don't see them as appreciating the value we brought this year as more than everyone else. Though I do. I think we should win.
We should, but we don't deserve out. This was a victory for us. We did not medal, though. We came in fourth. 6 votes shy of the bronze.
Woof. Just couldn't see it coming.
Speaking of, the Olympics are coming up.
We should have cheated. I could have written a Grease Monkey script that would have voted all night long. We could have had 1,000 votes in 2 hours.
And just when they get that would have been fun just to see the final results when the top vote getter gets 400.
Web hacks for a living. I mean, I should have. Is that even cheating, using your skills to vote for yourself?
Well, that's called voter fraud. That's what someone like Viktor Yanukovych does. So in that case, yeah.
Oh.
But going out there and just saying, hey, everyone, vote for me.
I wasn't suggesting that we poison anyone or have them murdered. I was just saying, using our resources.
I'm pretty sure that you want to have the ordained women movement poisoned with dioxin.
I cannot confirm that. I can only deny it.
Hey, what happened with that? What was her name? Tora Bright? We're coming up on the Olympics again next month. And remember 4 years ago, you were big on the Australian skier?
I bet she's pregnant with child right now. Let me see. Tora Bright.
What happened
to
Tora Bright?
Are you Googling her as well? Whoa. She's married.
Of course she is. That always happens.
She wears beautiful dresses in Sports Illustrated.
Endorsements. I see nothing of her personal life. This is not helpful.
Hold on. I'm looking in news.
Everyone loves it when we look up. Oh, there's personal life. Let's see.
She's skipping the Sochi Olympics if safety problems worsen.
So she's not going because she's Mormon. That's what we're learning.
Whoa.
Because, you know, the gays and Mormons and things. Well, Al, that means she's around.
No, she is still riding, man. She's still going.
But is she married?
Good for her. Well, her last name is still Bright. That means anything.
I don't think she's married, Al, and we've been talking for 4 years about your need to woo her. She lives in Salt Lake. Come on, man. Go snowboarding with her. Then your snowboarding will have purpose.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Though, I would feel a little silly snowboarding with her. I just ride down the middle parts, and she would be... yumping.
You love that word yumping. It's so great.
I'm a Swede. I love this.
Other stuff going on here. You might have seen this article go around last weekend. A couple of people sent it to us, so we'll mention it. Basically, are Mormons part of a social group that is inherently superior to others? So there's a woman named Amy Chua who wrote a book a couple of years ago called Tiger
That's
Mom.
That's not a real name. That no, is not is. A real name. Chua?
She's Chinese. So she wrote a book called Tiger Mom that claimed that Chinese women just naturally make better mothers. But now she and her husband have written a book called The Triple Package. And they explain why certain just social groups, whatever they may be, are more prone, as they say, to rise to prominence in America. So the groups are, in no order of importance, Jews, Indians, Chinese, Iranians, Lebanese Americans, Nigerians, Cuban exiles, and Mormons.
Wait, Cuban exiles?
Well yeah, because they
are above Mormons?
Well, no. I said in no particular order. There's no order.
I don't believe that, though.
Cuban exiles will never be above Mormons, okay? You heard it here first.
Okay.
Anyway, the point of this is just simply that apparently Mormons are just naturally better. Do you feel that we're naturally better? That we are superior to Catholics and Protestants?
I feel like, well, it's sort of the Joseph Smith model, right? Any religion that does not ask all of its members has no means to produce the faith necessary for salvation, whatever that quote is, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Sort of, yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, obviously, very severely. So it's sort of that model, right? Because we are there's so much asked of us. I feel like we're in a position to maybe perform a little better. We're better trained in the ways of sacrifice than most, I would say. Which is why maybe Cuban refugees would be on that list as well, right? Like it's this idea that you can take everything away and we still have our core values that are going to help us rise.
Yeah, maybe, but
What do you think, Jeff?
I don't know. I understand where she's coming from. You can't have blanket rules, but I think there is a fair thing to say. Like, yeah, a lot of Cuban immigrants leave Cuba because they come to the U.S. and they want to work hard and they want to make it in America. And Cuba, you know, is a communist disaster. So there's an understanding in that sense where, by and large, yeah, they probably come here and make it happen, right? And a lot of the time, that's what you see. Immigrant groups come here and want to make it happen. Though I've seen some other interesting research that does say
you're talking towards making a non-point. What are you trying to say?
Nothing. I'm making my non-point.
Jeff, I want to know, you clearly did not agree with the fact that it was because of sacrifice that we are on this list. Why do you think we are on this
why
list?
Do you, well, it's just, there we are.
Why do I think I just asked you?
But it's interesting, though. Most of the part of it is, I don't think it's that we've been exiles, but there's a good Mormon work ethic, and a lot of that, yeah, that does...
Here's the danger we have.
That is based on our history.
Now that we've been successful for a generation, all our kids are snot-nosed punks, and none of them will succeed. So in another generation, it'll all be a failure.
We might fail. She argues that, that stuff, the superiority complex from other groups has caused them to fail, to not be at the top anymore, whereas Mormons and Jews, for example, perpetually feel that they have to work and kind of dig themselves up.
We got
a
chip on the shoulder. That's true.
You could say. So you could argue then that things like the I'm a Mormon campaign, the Mormon moment, will they actually result in our downfall, that we will not make her second edition of this book?
Maybe no.
We have gone too mainstream.
Hey, so I got another question. Can we move on from this?
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
So there's some talk on obviously a lot has happened in the gay marriage run this last week. We've been posting it up on our Facebook as the gay marriage in Utah in particular, right, has gone back and forth. At first they were recognized, and then they came back and said they are not recognized, and then the ACLU sued the state of Utah to say yes, they have to be recognized, and now there's a bunch of people that are sort of married but maybe not. And we're not sure what's happening. Yes, Jeff.
Well, no, I mean, well, as far as Utah is concerned now, I guess they're just not. I mean, so the Supreme Court stepped in and at least stopped gay marriages in Utah while they analyzed the case. So that happened. And then, yes, then the Utah state clerk or somebody said, and by the way, none of them are married. It was all a fallacy.
And so where does that leave people?
Nowhere. Basically, it just leaves them back where they were before. It's basically saying, hey, everything that happened within the past month just never really happened. So let's just go back to where we were a month ago. But we'll keep the fee you paid for your marriage license.
Non-refundable.
We're going to keep that $80. Yeah.
So one of the questions that obviously has come up over and over again around this, which we've talked about a couple of times, is will Mormon bishops be forced to marry same-sex couples?
Yes, by... Right? Yeah, under lock and key, yes.
Which I don't, like, you can't force anybody to marry anyone, can you? Like, I don't think that's the way it works even with straight people right now. Can I force a Catholic priest to marry me?
No. I don't.
I believe they can opt out. There's no forcing. The better question, I feel like, here... in regards to Mormonism, was asked in the comments of one of the articles we've been reading recently, where they said, way better than that, let's consider a Mormon bishop who performs a same-sex marriage of his own volition, right? So he chooses to go and do this. Is there or should there be any guideline from the church saying whether or not they can do that? Because they are clergymen who are they're authorized to perform marriages in their state. And should the church have any say in who they perform those marriages for, or should they endorse it, or should, like, if a bishop went and did it, would we be surprised if there was any, I guess, slap on the wrist, so to speak?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you bring an interesting perspective because, yeah, I've only thought about the legal side of things, just simply that I don't think bishops would be forced to unless the church wanted to retain the fact that a bishop could also civilly marry people, right? And they could deny them that if they refused to be involved in gay marriage. But yeah, you're...
No. It's not like the refusal... I don't think anybody's going to bring that up, right? Like if I go to a priest and say, I want you to marry me, and he says, I'm busy.
Which he's...
Like what do I care? I go find another one, right?
Yeah, which he could say. But what I am saying is there could be... And this also brings the other question of what... gay people are going to want a bishop to marry them in the first place. There's also that. I mean, if you're a gay member of the church, you're going to be like, hey, bishop, I really want you to marry me. I'm sure it does
exist.
Well,
no, imagine, like if I was a gay member of the church, right, and best friends with my bishop all growing up, and then just because you are an active homosexual does not mean that you lose these friendships. So if he was still – like if I was still very, very close to my bishop, I could totally see going to him and saying, hey, I want you to provide this. And I – like if I were a bishop in that situation, I would want to, right?
Potentially, but then you could see a bishop
who
could –
I would just want to be there for this person who's struggled plenty.
You could, but then it's interesting to think about, though, that even if the church does not want to do gay marriage, if the bishops can opt to do it. And that's – I don't know what would happen in that case.
What do you think?
I really don't know. I don't know if Salt Lake would forbid them from doing so, or if, like a lot of things, they would just leave it to local discretion to sort out. And if the bishop says, yeah.
Well, then what is that like?
Local discretion would just be a bishop or a stake president. You know, the bishop just saying, like, I feel good about this and I'm going to go and do it.
Well, I suppose nothing flies in the face more of we believe that marriage is between a man and a woman sort of family proclamation doctrine than – than me choosing to go and do that. What's interesting is even people that have they screwed up and they didn't do it right, or they had their own struggles and they are compelled to not be married in the temple, right? Bishops that get asked to go and do that, I mean they do it because they love the people, but it's not something that they glory in. They don't revel in those marriages,
of course. Yeah. Well, exactly. I mean, I'm sure everyone's happy to do it. That's an occasion we're celebrating. But obviously, you'd want to feel like, hey, wouldn't it be great if you were also doing...
How interesting.
But since we are talking about it, I do think that if gay marriage became the law of the land and it came to this issue of bishops and what they could and could not do and stuff, I honestly think something would come down from Salt Lake that would say, you are not to perform gay marriages if you're asked to. Because it would be antithetical to exactly what you said, official church positions on things. I mean, it wouldn't make a lot of sense.
There you go.
So I think that could happen.
We got to wrap this up. We
spent all this time
today.
But also building on that, you might have seen last week this fine young fellow chose to go on a hunger strike while gay marriage was legal in Utah. Now it's okay. Now he can, he can eat. It worked. The strike, like his own personal rain dance.
So just so I understand, his protest was that it had become such an abomination to him that his state where he lived was recognizing gay marriage, that his solution was to not eat, right?
Yeah, he was only ate, took vitamins, and drank water. So it wasn't like he was like going to die or anything.
Was he doing a startup or was he protesting?
he was protesting. He wrote in his blog that he would not do this until they got rid of it. And they did get rid of it. He won.
Well, we don't encourage that as a church, do we? That's not the way that we seek to bring about civil change.
I don't think we're very big on people going on irrational hunger strikes. I don't think that's part of what we do.
Okay, good. I was just making sure because I love food.
So do I. I don't think I would ever go on. I love that now he said, and if he has to protest again, it will be giving up football.
I'm not golfing until
I will miss the BYU game. Oh, it's going to be terrible. Oh.
And I do this so you'll know up in that big Capitol building.
Yeah. Yeah. So that went down, but now the hunger strike's already over. Utah is fascinating because of any state where the gay marriage thing has been an issue, for it to hit in Utah, it's quite the battleground.
But why
scenario.
Not? Why not hold a protest sign or something of that?
Because
nature?
Everyone protests when you hold a hunger strike. People pay attention, and they did because we're talking about
the only people that pay attention are Ruby Tuesdays.
Have you ever been to Ruby Tuesday?
I have.
I never have.
It is adequate.
Applebee's strikes me as superior.
It would be. Absolutely.
And are you saying that because you used to work at Applebee's?
I have Applebee's stock. That's right.
I know you do. I was actually looking at some old Ukraine photos the other day.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize in a lot of these photos, you know that one when we found a good sickle and hammer on a building, we took a really funny picture of you standing there while...
me, and Cobb?
Yeah, the three of us, and we kind of put our legs up in this funny little pose.
I remember.
You are wearing an Applebee's t-shirt. And I laughed to myself and said, only Al Doan will travel to Ukraine and care so little about his wardrobe. He'll just be wearing an Applebee's t-shirt walking around in a former Soviet republic. Those were the days.
Yeah, that was me. That was definitely me.
Other quick news real quick. Let's see here.
Mitt Romney's going to a YSA conference in Arizona. Get your tickets now, people.
Yeah, if you're in Arizona, folks, in the East Valley or around there, whatever, go see the man.
We have like 2 more weeks till his documentary comes out.
I'm excited for it. We'll have to post a full review on our own website. Yes. Quick news. A first edition of the Book of Mormon was recently appraised on Antiques Roadshow for $100,000, which is kind of cool. I'd actually like to see that episode, see him thumb through it.
That was on Antique Roadshow?
Yeah, it was on Antiques Roadshow.
Where? When? I want to go. Well, oh, there it is. I can watch it right there.
What, they posted a link
Thank
to
you,
the
Deseret News. You've redeemed yourself for that terrible top 10 list.
Good job, guys.
The trial for the Vegas missionaries. Remember the two guys walking around pretending to be Vegas missionaries and then robbing people?
Yeah.
That's delayed. They we talked about houses? That happening. Yeah. Not happening for a little while. They have just postponed it. They asked for an extension and got it. Update.
And lastly, another quick mention. You might have seen this. There's a group that's unveiled basically to protest separation of church and state, a Satan statue to be at the Oklahoma State Capitol because they have a Ten Commandments there. So they're trying to make a point of, well, the Ten Commandments can be here. Why can't a picture of Beelzebub? Well, a statue of Beelzebub. Sit on his lap, have a good time.
It's kind of weird. There was also another one that we were talking about, a no-God church movement, right? So there's people that get together as an assembly group so they can hang out on Sunday and not worship anything.
Yeah, because that's not a
religion. There's a bunch of this kind of going around right now of like, hey, you religions.
Well, I know.
Like
I think
what you have, but we don't like the sacrifice or faith.
Yeah, I think Utah's actually been getting some more of those atheist billboards recently as well. I thought I saw
something. It's kind of bizarre. It's kind of a weird bit of feedback from people. I mean, that's weird that like your response to all those religious people would be to I don't know. Is it mocking? Is that what this is? Or is it that they genuinely want the benefits but not the sacrifice of religion?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they want the benefits. People congregate as groups, no matter what they are. And some call those a religion. Some call those just a social group. You can call it whatever. You know, I mean,
I call them Swansonites.
I might have a master's degree in sociology, but I can't tell you any more than I already have.
Pawnee Rangers.
And lastly, what does the bishop say?
No. Oh, gosh. No. This can't be our last one. That's an awful parody that some.
Awful parody or brilliant parody?
No, awful. I watched. It was definitely
it's
awful.
It's what does the bishop say if you have...
The bishop says, church, 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 church,
church. Church, 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 church. Yes, and goodbye.
Talk, 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 talk,
goodbye,
talk, talk.
Goodbye, family. Goodbye, goodbye, family.
All the YouTube comments are how bad they are at singing. Still, like 80,000 views, more views than I get.
Well, just because you can do... Let's read some comments. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Or, that's a good one.
So I actually think this was made as like a, you know, one of those like, let's get together as award.
Yeah, it was a ward party.
Video
it was a ward
for you.
I swear.
And you could tell it did that because it was 5 minutes and anything that like was actually intended to be consumed by masses would not be a 5 minute video of talk, 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 that's talk,
true.
Talk.
I swear every church building has the same couches. That one's probably true.
It's true. Hey, also, Jeff... I'm not like you'll know more about this than I do, but Evergreen International has shut its doors.
In a way, Evergreen International was a large support group for gay Mormons. They pushed reparative therapy. Anyways, they shut down in that they rolled themselves into a bigger group called North Star. So they basically have taken their assets and combined it with North Star to be a newer and bigger group. So it's not like
they sold your information.
Pretty much. So it's not that they're gone. In their entirety, they're just moving on up. They've been bought out.
Classic.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, Jeff, I feel like I'm more happy ending on that note than I was on what does the bishop
talk,
say.
Talk, so talk, 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 talk. Sin, 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 sin. You should not see that movie. You should go see this movie. See, I can do it with anything.
You are ready to be a bishop. Anyway, Jeff.
That's never going
to Everybody, thank you. Thank you for indulging us on this week. Even our kind of goofy ranting on movies and all that stuff, we appreciate you. We enjoy the rhetoric that we get to have. So thank you for that, and thanks for listening. Thank you for voting for us as this weekend, or the Mormons of the Year. That was very fun.
That was
and,
fun.
And you can always find us. Come drop us an email, contact at thisweekinmormons.com, or just leave a comment over on thisweekinmormons.com. We've been doing this a long
time. Find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter. A couple of plugs, though. Sign up for our mailing list. Get with the Gospel Study Sesh, our email-based study group, which is great. Also, Sunday School Bonanza. We have started off with the Old Testament for gospel doctrine lessons. It's where we go over gospel doctrine lessons and prepare. And also, a final plug, we are partnering with the blog This Mormon Life and producing a new podcast called Third Hour of Power, in which it's very similar to Sunday School Bonanza, but we are going over the teachings of the presidents of the church manuals, which this year is Joseph Fielding Smith. I think that might be even more useful than Sunday School Bonanza, because Elders Quorum, how many of you been to, Al, when the teacher shows up and just says, all right, and you just read paragraph through the lesson, and that's your lesson.
Oh, yeah, happens every week.
So let's avoid that, and our goal with this is to get you at least prepared so you can at least be the person who quarterbacks the lesson if your teacher sucks, basically. Be good. Get in there. Be great. Okay.
Amen. All right, go do it, people.
I feel blessed, and I'll talk to you later, Al. Thanks for being here.
All right, see you, buddy.
See you, pal. Thanks for listening, folks. Hope you have a great week. This has been This Week in Mormons, and we appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Young woman chat.
Young man eat.
Primary sings and the missionaries teach. Elders move.
Relief society serves.
And the high priest group goes snooze.
Dad says quiet. Mom says no. And the kids go wow, wow, wow.
But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the bishop say?
Church, 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 church.
What does the bishop say?
Work, 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 work.
What does the bishop say?
Talk, 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 talk. Talk, 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 talk.
What does the bishop say?
Re, 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 re. Re, 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 re. Re, 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 re.
What does the bishop say?
Nice white shirt, fancy tie, happy smile and shaking hands. Any time of the day, always there to help you out.
His door is open, so welcoming, like a refuge from the storm. And if you need